So as I was saying, we are going to be venturing through a journey that we're entitling Faith, the Art of Living. And as Josh just read the first two verses from chapter 11, we will be returning to those verses each week to remind us of the foundation of our journey and then to use that as a springboard into the other stories. So I invite you to come along with me and with Josh and with others of us who will be preaching. And not only those who are preaching, but we also, including this morning, will be having several of you over these weeks share vignettes from your own story, your own journey of faith. So as we enter into this time, let's join together in prayer. Gracious God, we give you thanks. We give you thanks for this time to be together. We give you thanks for these words of Scripture. May they now speak into our lives, into our stories, our journeys. And may the words of my mouth and the thoughts and dreams and meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight. For Lord, you are our rock and our Redeemer. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. So I took my first swim lessons when I was about 4 or 5 years old. And I took them at a local swim club. It was actually the Chapman College Swim Club. And so it was in an Olympic-sized pool with a very deep, deep end and with 1 meter springboards and 3 meter springboards at the pool. And so as we went through the weeks of the summer and were learning how to stay afloat, we got to our last lesson. And our instructor had told us this ahead of time, but he reminded us at the last lesson that the culmination of our swim lessons was that we got to go up to the top of the high dive, the 3 meter board, and jump in the pool. I'm 5 years old. Just remember that. And while it was not a requirement of the class, every other kid got out of the pool and climbed up the ladder. And so with my knees knocking, and I thought, well, I don't want to be the one person who doesn't do this. And I also kind of want to get that final seal of approval from my instructor. And so I very cautiously made my way up the ladder, and I got up to the top of the board, and I walked out to the edge of it, and I stood there for what felt like about a half an hour. It probably was only a few seconds. But then my instructor just called up to me and basically said, "Lean forward. Let your weight carry you." I wasn't about to jump, you know, and do a pirouette or a flip or something. And so I started leaning forward. And I wasn't going anywhere. Because I was really only just crouching down like this. But eventually, I got down into that crouched position, and I leaned forward enough that there was no turning back, and I began falling. And how did I fall? Splat. Belly flop. When I came to, I got out of the pool. My face was red for a different reason. My chest was completely red. But I also felt kind of exhilarated because I had done it and I had survived. I made it through. I took it wasn't really a leap, it was more of a fall, a plunge, but I took the plunge. And I made it. I faced my fear. I embraced it. And I felt the incredible energy and excitement and exhilaration as a result. It seems that whether it's airplanes or zip lines or bungee jumping or trust falls, or maybe it's your first kiss or telling someone you love them for the very first time, or sharing with someone what's really on your mind, on your heart, Or maybe it's just an example of choosing the road less traveled, wherever it might lead. Any of those moments where we confronted our fears, and rather than saying no to the leap, said yes, that was an experience of faith. All the times where we could easily say no to life, but instead said yes, that was an experience of faith. Often, religion has little to do with it. But we take steps of faith in our everyday lives several times each day. And so when we talk about faith in a more religious setting like this, often we want to begin to pontificate and get into deep theological excursions. But really, we all, to one degree or another, live by faith, whether we know it or not. Because when we roll out of bed and trust that there's going to be something beneath us to catch us, that's an act of faith. Every time we sit down in a chair, it's an act of faith. Every time we turn on the news and somehow still believe that we're going to hear something accurate and true, that's an act of faith. We experience faith in so many different ways, in so many different moments of each and every day of our lives. And so when we talk about faith, one of the ways that our religious tradition has spoken about it is these opening words to Hebrews 11. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. It's less a looking back to the past and more looking ahead to the future. It's less a stepping back and more a stepping out. And it's being able to trust in something that maybe you can't see, or something you haven't experienced, or something you can't really even conceive of in your wildest dreams. It's having assurance in the midst of those circumstances in life where maybe we can't see the road ahead, or we can't even imagine it. Faith is not only the assurance of things hoped for, but it's the conviction of things not seen. It's sensing that down beneath all that seems to desecrate and destroy life, down even lower than the pits, the depths of death, of ultimate estrangement and separation, there is a spark. There's something that lights the stars. There's a love that fires the sun, that gives us light and warmth. There's hope. There's hope that somehow in the midst of circumstances beyond our control, circumstances that seem more daunting than anything else, there is a presence. There is a reason to hope. There is love. And to have a sense of that within ourselves that sometimes goes beyond language in the ways that we seek to try and define it. You might say it's a gut sense. And then I think of Noah building a huge boat in the middle of the desert. Or Abraham and Sarah packing up their family and belongings and heading off to a place that literally is God knows where, with no direction seemingly of how to get there. Or I think of Rahab, the outcast, risking her safety to hide complete strangers because it seemed like the right thing to do, the just thing to do. Or Deborah inspiring others by her leadership in an era where women hardly had a voice. Or Moses being a stuttering mouthpiece for the people of Israel, leading them from fear to freedom. You know, often we define a leap of faith as taking a huge visible risk. And sometimes it is. But often it's almost invisible. They're small steps. They're not as dramatic. And yet they're equally filled with tangible risk, potential reward. And I think about the times in life where perhaps we're not only called to step out into a different culture and context like we just heard about so beautifully. Three of our families taking a big leap into the unknown and finding something more than I imagine any of them imagined. And the mutuality of what was received by their presence for the people in those communities in Peru. But faith isn't only taking big steps like that to serve those on the fringes of society, the people in most visible need. But many times it's stepping out into our own culture, our own context, to be fully present to our neighbors and to discover both their needs and their gifts. It's not just taking a bold stand on behalf of those who have been treated inhumanely, but sometimes it's also taking a thoughtful pause to remember and to recognize the common shared humanity and the humanity within those who are acting inhumanely. When I think of faith, one of the first people who comes to mind is my mother-in-law, Lori Stallcup. It was just over 3 years ago that we said au revoir to dear Lori. We celebrated her life back at her home church in Springfield, Missouri. She was a woman of few words, but incredible faith, lived faith, enacted faith. She made some very big decisions and leaps of faith in her life. One of those leaps involved the man who she fell in love with and shared life with and cared for over 50 years. Her husband, Bob, my father-in-law, who was stricken with polio at age 21 and is a paraplegic. Lori saw far beyond that and much more deeply within Bob and shared a love with him that was incredibly remarkable and powerful and true and sacrificial. But it was the day-to-day decisions that Lori enacted where I really saw that faith in such a real and powerful and life-giving way. And the ways that she could be so powerfully present, not just to her own family, but to the people she served through Meals on Wheels, and the children she taught in Sunday school, and the people in their own neighborhood that she would reach out to and provide comfort and support to. Of course, probably the greatest leap of faith that she ever took that my family and I are most thankful for is the leap that she took into a swimming pool to rescue her young daughter, Kirsten, who had ridden her tricycle into said pool. I think of faith when I see families McBride, Bamer, Shu take a leap into a new culture. I think of our students who we will be commissioning later in the service taking their own leap of faith into an unknown week ahead on our caravan mission experience, serving those who need support, who need friendship, who need provision. I think of another one of our own who has taken many steps of faith within our faith community and beyond, and who I'd like to share one of those steps that he took, Rick Warner.
On? Nope. It's on? Okay. Thank you. As chair of the mission and peacemaking team, I want to thank you for making Friday, November the 18th of last year a very special day for me, a day I hope to remember and feel for many years to come. You see, that was the day that I had the honor to represent your goodwill and your big hearts through the distribution of last year's Christmas in July fundraiser. Your generosity toward the program gave me the opportunity to meet a very special man, somebody I'm sure some of you know, Joe Galati. He's the principal of Llewellyn Grade School. Like other schools in southeast Portland, Llewellyn has many families that live at or below the poverty level. Joe and his staff try to help these children with everything from school supplies to clothing, extra teaching effort and treats, and of course, helping families that need food. Unfortunately, Joe's needy children's budget does not cover all of these needs. As I walked into his office that Friday morning, and unknown to me, Joe was facing the issue of having two families in need of a Thanksgiving meal and no budget to cover the need. As we sat down at this conference table, I introduced myself as a member of Moreland Church and explained that we had raised money to help support Llewellyn's needy student fund. And as I handed him the check for what I thought was a pretty modest amount, he held it and stared at it for several seconds. I was thinking, geez, I hope this is good. But I could see tears starting to form in his eyes, and he stood up and he gave me a big hug and he declared, "Thank you, Lord." Again, I'm thinking, geez, is that something you're supposed to say in a public school? But I stepped back with a grin on my face, and he stepped up and he explained that he thought it was okay to say such a phrase to somebody that went to church. I smiled and confirmed that I was quite comfortable with that phrase. He then explained to me his dilemma with these two families and that this was truly a godsend, allowing him to help these families to enjoy their Thanksgiving holiday with a real turkey dinner. Your contribution, as I said, literally brought tears to his eyes and warmth to his heart, in which he generously shared with me. So why am I thanking you? This was one of those magical experiences of faith that only happens once in a while. To meet person to person and know how much our gift is appreciated is something that everyone should have the experience. This changes the old saying, to give till it hurts, to give and make yourself truly feel great. Because I felt great. So if you feel it in your hearts today, I urge you to make a donation to our Christmas in July fund for this coming year by putting cash or a check in one of the pew envelopes and marking it as a special offering. You can also drop something off at the church anytime this month. And if you want to participate by helping your mission team deliver one of these checks, please let me know. I'd like to share this experience. I can't guarantee that you'll have exactly the same experience I had, but I know it will make you feel great. Thank you.
Thank you, Rick. So off we go. A new journey, or new season in the journey. Where might it take us? Where might we discover the extraordinary in the ordinary? Where might our fears be encountered with faith, with trust? Where might we get a chance to experience, maybe in a new way, that at that intersection of fear and faith, there's exhilaration and celebration and life? Leap, and the net will appear. Amen.